Well, hey everyone, welcome back to the Leadership Lessons Podcast. My name is Pastor Daniel Williams, and I'm excited to be your host to grow in this adventure with you. Man, following Jesus is an adventure, isn't it? Trusting Him, believing, asking God to give us boldness and courage to do the things He's called us to do, and to do that by faith and worship. And so it's such a joy to be able to be around like-minded people. I know that I'm just talking into a mic and a video camera, but I understand how important this podcast is for the things God's called you to do, that we are doing this thing together. It's such a time as this. We've been allotted a place in certain ministries. I'm here locally in South Florida. I'm loving what I'm doing. I love pastoring Redemption Church in Delray Beach. It's amazing what God is doing. And we've always been a small community church that has multiplied and has the vision to send people out. And it's been so good and fruitful to see God work in my midst, not only in my local church, but as I'm having fellowship and conversation with all of you, to see God's kingdom expand and grow. And so I want to make sure you know you are not alone. Man, we are so honored and blessed to be able to come alongside of you as a ministry, EE Leaders, to encourage and equip you in those things that God's calling you to do. And so I'm just privileged and overwhelmed with this new season. It's sort of a new rhythm again for me. It was honestly a great break, but I was compiling. I was getting so many leadership lessons, so many interviews, so many one piece of advice. I'm just feel like my heart is full and I want to explode with this content and give it to you. And that's what we're going to do once again today. In this leadership lesson, we're going to focus on being ourselves, not comparing ourselves, which Paul will say is unwise, but actually be taking the time to just embrace who God has called us to be. He's wired us a certain way, from internal things of how we are, but also external things of who we shepherd and how, and our responsibilities in the season of life. And so this leadership lesson, I'm actually going to share with you, because I was tasked this opportunity to teach on how God has wired you through a cohort that I do through the Calvary Global Network. It's my tribe, my family, Calvary Chapel Movement, where we are all about teaching the word and planting churches and making disciples. And just like most of your guys' networks and denominations, this is my family, the Calvary Tribe, Calvary Global Network. And we are able to gather pastors together, church planters, and just be able to pour into one another. And so I want to remind you how important that is to be in community. See, me just talking and you coming consistently is actually an invitation for you to be in my community, people that God has connected me with. And I'm so honored and privileged to be able to hand that community to you. But if you want to dive deeper and be a little bit more into our community, I'd love for you to join a cohort, or to be able to join our Patreon page to get more content with interviews, but also even some coaching. Right now, I'm loving being able to have conversations, coaching help, and really just pour out resources in a specific practical way for other church leaders and other church planners. You know, it's so important to be able to have another person on the other end of the phone saying, hey, how do you do this? What about this? What about this process? Hey, how do I set up a website? How do I set up a 501c3? What is your experience with this? And to be able to have a sounding board has helped my life, that I want to be able to do that with you. And so if you want some coaching, some one-on-one, some things to be able to help your leadership, I would just encourage you to reach out, daniel@eeleaders.com, or join our Patreon page. And there's a special tier for a monthly low cost. You can actually schedule a half an hour call to have me in your rhythm in a more personal way. But I'm glad that I'm in your rhythm this way. I hope that you subscribe to the podcast. I hope that you share the podcast. And today we're going to get into it. And so today's leadership lesson is hosted by, it's taught by me, about how God has wired you. We had some really good, fruitful discussion after this video was played. And I hope that you know that when I break these podcasts down on video on our YouTube channel, I try to break each segment up so you can have a concise leadership lesson, a one piece of advice, a snippet of interview, so you can either share not only on social media, but hopefully with your staff, with your friends, and with your community. We're in this together, and we're better better together. And so be encouraged. Share this content with your family, with your friends, with other church leaders that you can grow with, because it will help your leadership to have loving accountability and growing community. And so this leadership lesson was a joy to be able to teach, and I'll come back on the other end of it to give you some more content and set some other things up. I've been tasked today to talk to you about how we've been wired and how to steward that well. This leadership lesson is really incredibly important to me because I think there's nothing better than doing what God has called you to do. And so when I think about the subject, how has God wired you? That word you is very important. You know, as a pastor, as a church leader, as a equipper, I know that you probably know this. It's very important for the people you shepherd to identify their spiritual gifts and how they can serve and to grow in that and to lead in that and to serve Jesus in those things. Because when we do that, we grow. We bring God glory. And that's the same thing for us. Sometimes we forget as church leaders, we're Christians, man. We're Christians first and foremost. And so we need to identify, like, how did Jesus wire us? What gifts, what talents, what grace has he given us to serve, to worship him? We want to be worshipers of God. And we want to talk about just not only what talent and treasures he's given us, but how do we grow in that leadership gift? Very, very important that we want to steward well and we want to grow in that. And so how has God wired you? What does that look like for you? How do we identify that? Hopefully, you know, part of being around other church leaders and the cohort like this, you'll start identifying how you're different and how your gifts sort of rise up or you think differently in people. And that should be an encouragement, because the great thing is we're not all the same. We're different. God uniquely made each of us, and we want to just be faithful to the call and the gifting and the time, the talent, the treasures, things he's given us for that. And so, man, I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that I'm able to speak on this subject because being self-aware is important so you can identify, so you can grow, so you can steward and serve God and worship him. That's the topic that I think the text that sort of speaks to this topic, I think, can be found in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. At least that's what the Holy Spirit brought for me today for you. Chapter 10, verses 12 through 18, I think it can encourage us to talk about how we're wired, how we're to steward the grace that God has given us, and to just identify that, to be grateful for that, and to know that God has given us a certain leadership, a capacity, a measurement by his grace. And so, man, to speak on this topic, how had God wired us and how do we steward the grace he's given us, I thought 2 Corinthians chapter 10 would be a great chapter for us to look at in his word together. And so I want to encourage you to open your Bibles. We're going to read through this little section, verses 12 through 18, and just sort of talk about this subject. How has God wired us? What does that look like? How do I steward the grace that God's given us and the situation season that he's given us? Now, as most of you know, the book of Corinthians was written by a guy named the Apostle Paul. It was to the church in Corinth, and he was very bold in his instruction, his letter to the church. He really desired that people would follow Jesus, and he deals with a lot of stuff. In the first letter, he would write to them stuff about the church because they were very carnal. They weren't heavenly minded, they were earthly minded, and they were following celebrity pastors. They were in sexual immorality. There was lawsuits and division among them. They had to deal with, you know, principles for marriage or idol worship, appearance. They were even getting drunk during the Lord's Supper, and the gifts were just out of control. And so Paul has this harsh word for them in the first letter of Corinthians to them, and he's instructing them a lot. He's instructing them the way that they should live and respond to Jesus. And I just want to pause there and just say, aren't you glad that God's words instruct us? I mean, he guides us, even as church leaders and even as pastors. We're to go to God's word for our final authority, and we need to be teaching God's word to people to know truth and speak it in grace ways, man, just seasoned with grace and love. But God actually gives us instructions about sexuality and about giving and about, division and having peace and spiritual gifts. That's all amazing. And we need to be faithful to let people know that there is truth. There is a reality where God speaks on these things. And so this is the first letter, but the second letter to Corinth, 2 Corinthians, still written by the Apostle Paul, but it's just way different. It's not dealing necessarily with instruction about all these carnal things that they're doing. he's primarily trying to guard them by dealing with his apostolic authority. He's making sure that they know his calling is from God, because the things that he said is actually truthful from the Lord, and he speaks that. You see, the context is they were coming against the Apostle Paul and his instruction to the church because they were jealous. They were known as these super apostles, saying, well, who is Paul? Who gave him the right to speak this truth? And what does he say about this? And they were addressing Paul as basically a punk. They were saying, well, what are his credentials? Who's his authority? Where's his calling from? And in this letter, Paul continues to boast on the grace of God. And he says, you want to know my credentials? My credentials is Jesus, man. Christ crucified. That's who I'm living for. Oh, you want to boast? Well, super apostles, you puff yourself up. I'm going to lift up the name of Jesus. I'm not going to just mark out all my credentials for you. I'm going to boast in my sufferings. And we know in 2 Corinthians 11, he says, man, you want to boast? My boast is in imprisonment. It's having beatings. It's near death. It's shipwrecked. It's constant hardship and sleepless nights. And he just goes on this long list of sufferings, because he's like, I want to share in the sufferings of Christ. Everything is grace to me. The love of God compels me. I'm now ambassador, and people are ambassadors because they've been pulled from darkness into this kingdom of light. And it's God who we elevate, not ourselves. And this is really important to understand when we talk about being self-aware and talking about our gifts. This is not about us. This is about God and his grace and what he does through us and in us. And we should be boasting in the Lord and following him, lifting up Jesus. And so Paul doesn't say, he says, listen, I don't care about the approval of man. I'm living for Jesus. And he's wanting to boast in his abilities to praise the Lord and to be faithful to this grace that God gave him. This is why we want to talk about being self-aware and being, how God wired us and given us grace to lead in the season that we're at, because we want to be good, faithful stewards and to worship him. And so Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, he starts off by saying, listen, not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves to some of those who are commending themselves. They were boasting about themselves and commending themselves. But when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. Now, this word understanding, it's pretty polite in the ESV. It's the polite version. The Old King James or the New King James, it's a little bit more blunt. It says they are unwise, aka dumb, stupid, foolishness. That's right. It is stupid, dumb, or foolish to compare yourself with others, because God, well, he has a special role, a unique calling in your life that you need to understand. He wired you a certain way that you're to follow him out of worship and not worry about other people. He says they're without even understanding. They're not even in their right mind. They're not doing it in a spiritual sense. They're in the flesh. And this is really important for us, even as church leaders, to hear this, because oftentimes we talk about this social media culture where we're boasting in the highlights and comparing ourselves and all this different stuff to get validation. But listen, we as church leaders, we can do this as well too. You know, we ask the stupid question, well, how many are you running? Now, there's nothing wrong with acquiring and understanding how large a church is, what the capacity is of a leader, all that different stuff is good. But sometimes we ask for the wrong motives. We ask just so that we can ask and compare ourselves. Oh, they have 500. Well, I have 5,000. Oh, they have 50. Well, I have 100. And we start judging one another based off of outputs rather than input, meaning based off of numbers rather than faithfulness. You see, God has wired us all differently. We have a variety of gifts, a variety of ministry to do, and oftentimes we measure our value, our validity, our worth by comparing ourselves. Paul says, don't do this. This is something that we need to talk about even in a cohort like this. We get together. We even, on the positive note, we hear how God's moving in a church. And oftentimes the enemy can creep in and temptation, our flesh can say, well, why doesn't God do that in my ministry? Well, if I had that budget, that would happen. And we start getting discouraged or even could put other people down, or they must be in the flesh. You know, they just teach the New Testament. I'm doing it strong. I'm in the Old Testament. That's why I'm not growing. We have this idea that if we compare ourselves to someone else, we'll be better. And that is totally false dichotomy in the kingdom of God. God has wired you uniquely and given you a unique calling. He wants you to do great things for him. And so we need to understand this. We need to know this. Paul is saying, listen, nothing that you do brings you value. It's who God says you are, right? How has God wired me? We need to hear from God's voice to be obedient, to be faithful to the grace that he's given us, because he's gifted us all with grace. And this brings value, what God says over us, not comparing ourselves. So let's not go down that road. You see, answering the question, how has God wired you, should bring God glory, because you start recognizing, man, this is all God's grace. He is so good. He is amazing. Ephesians 4:7 says, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts. See, our measurement is from Christ, not others. It's dumb to compare. But man, when we understand it's God who made us, who wired us, who's given us gifts and authority and spiritual weight and responsibility, man, we could be grateful and we could be thankful to God for all that he's done. So the question I have for you when thinking about how are you made and wired and what grace has God given you is, do you even know? Do you even know how to lead? What that responsibility is? Are you aware of his grace in your life? How are you wired? You see, taking self-awareness tests, identifying your spiritual gifts, getting input from others of who you are and what they see and affirmation in that. These are all good things and a part of our leadership. It's something that we should be teaching other people to steward the time, talent, and treasures and how God wired us to lead. And so Paul continues in verse 13 and says, but we will not boast beyond our limits. Okay. But we'll boast only with regard to the area of influence God has assigned us to reach, even you. Now, he's saying we're not going to boast, but we're going to be self-aware of our own limits. If God made you, you have limits. I know type A leaders, they don't like to hear that, but this is a real thing. You can't do everything, right? God made you with a certain measurement or limit. He wired you a certain way to only do so much. Even as humans, we're wired to sleep at night. He even commanded us, yes, even as leaders, to take a day off and rest, to Sabbath. This is really important. Hopefully you know this, because once you do, you can build a team around you, and actually your strengths and your weaknesses, your limitations, other people can carry that weight and we are better together. You could do more, accomplish more through the vision of a team rather than just the individual. And this is what God wants, for us to be unified, but not uniformity, for us to be different and have our limitations, but yet have our strengths and our weaknesses. Oftentimes, though, we do too much and we try to prove ourselves our worth by doing too much. But listen, God gives us limits, and it's good because he knows that we aren't God. And just because someone we admire may be able to do more than we think that we can do doesn't mean that we have to do it. You know, my associate pastor, Robin Shelley, is a great Bible teacher, and he loves to teach the Bible, and he does it very well. He's actually does this for a living, being bivocational. He is the Bible teacher at my kids' Christian school, and he teaches literally hundreds of students every single day. It's phenomenal. He doesn't get tired of it. But you know what? Me, that would burn me out. Every 6 to 8 weeks, I have someone guest speak for me on a Sunday service just so I can take a break, be refreshed, be filled, and focus. And so, why am I saying this? Because Robin and I are wired differently, and that's okay. It's okay. It's okay to boast in your limitations, to know that you're different than other people, that God has made you uniquely and wonderfully, and it's okay. We naturally know this, but I think practically, man, it means we're saying no to a lot of things. It has to be if we have limits. Listen, we have to realize, and I tell my team this all the time, we have to say no to what is good so we can say yes to what is great. If God wired you a certain way and gave you a certain capacity and gift and measurement of grace, then you need to say yes to that and the calling he's given you and how he's made you, not try to be someone else. It is okay to be yourself. God glories in it, and you could give God glory through your own body. This is so important and freeing. Paul says, I'm not going to boast. I'm not going to boast of my limitations, but I'm going to boast not beyond my limits, but will boast in regard to the area of influence that God has assigned me. He would actually tell the Corinthians in the first letter, 1 Corinthians 12:6, 4-6. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of the service, but the same Lord. and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. God gives a variety of gifts and a variety of grace. He's wired us all differently. We don't need to compare. We can boast. Because part of our wiring, our limitations, is actually the people that God has given us. He's saying, we're going to boast in you because God has limited us to serve you, to bless you. And this is very important for how God has wired us, because he's wired us for a certain reason to lead certain people. This is what ministry is, serving people, loving people. And Paul says, my limit, my reach is you, Corinth. Paul realized that part of his responsibility and reach was the people of God that God entrusted him. So he was actually writing a letter to them, saying yes to them. So this is super helpful and freeing when you realize this. Your family and your church family are not holding you back, and you're not holding them back. This is what the Bible says. There are divine relationships, and you actually have been placed into a body just like people have been placed into a body. And if God has given you that authority, that leadership, that gifting, even amongst your weaknesses, even the way that you think, the way that you do things, your limitations, God placed you to lead and to serve because he loves those people and he loves you. And you guys have connected to one another. He sets this thing up, man. It's amazing. It's genius. God has placed each individual leader and pastor with his unique abilities, leadership, vision, gifts, wiring to that local fellowship. And that's okay. Even when it thinks that the church's stumbles are as weak because of us, in our weakness, he is strong. Now listen, we would never say this out loud, that the people around us are holding us back. But we sure could be tempted to do it, to say it. We could say, well, if I only had that budget, or if my people volunteer like this. Man, we get tempted in thinking that our limitations hinder us rather than help us. And God places certain people in our lives for a good reason, just like he's placed you in the church's life for a good reason. You know, children, my kids are older, but when they were younger, they were a limitation. It was hard. Sometimes I even lost sleep because they were up all night. That hindered me from doing certain things. And did you know what? God knew that in that season. I'm now able to do a little bit more because they're more independent. But he knows that in this season. Don't forget he's providentially working in your life and in your church life. I feel sometimes this because I'm bivocational. I only have a certain amount of time to give to the church, to study, to do these things. But I trust that in my limitations and the people that God wants me to serve, and even just the way I am, I'm not as genius as some people that I look up to, or not a great speaker as some that I look up to. But God has made me who I am and placed me with this authority and responsibility as an under shepherd to love people, to serve people. And so I have to just be faithful to the call that he's given me. I trust the people that God places in my life are by his grace. And the way he made me, I can have confidence to serve with those gifts, abilities, and how he's wired me to do so. And so it's not my abilities, my own effort that transform people's lives. It's God's grace. I trust that. So I feel like Paul, like in my weakness, I am strong because guess what? I can trust that God has placed me supernaturally, providentially into people's lives to love them and to serve them. And this is what he's done. Paul knew this. And he says in verse 14 through 16, for we are not over exceeding ourselves as though we did not reach you. For we were the first to come all the way to you with the gospel of Christ. Literally, they came to the gospel first by God's grace to reach these people. Verse 15, we do not boast beyond limits in labor of others, but our hope is that as your faith increases, our area of influence among you may be greatly enlarged, so that we may preach the gospel in lands beyond you without boasting of work already done in another area of influence. Now, this is a longer section, but the big idea is this. Paul wanted to have a great influence and impact the world. We know this. He was a church planter. He was going out preaching the gospel, doing all this different stuff, right? But he realized that God gave him these people to do that. That God limited him, made him a certain way, wired him, gave him certain gifts, abilities, capacity, authority. And his role was to love and invest in the Corinth and all the other church plants that he was a part of. So by faith, he trusted that as they grew, the gospel would spread. Meaning, if God hasn't given you a large amount of people, you don't got to be depressed about it. Listen, God has placed beautiful souls in your responsibility for you to shepherd, for you to love. And it doesn't matter if there's 5, 15, 50, 500, or 5,000. You don't got to be all depressed and whining about it. This is how he wires you. He knows what's best for you, how your capacity, the measurement of grace that you can lead in this season, in this moment, and he's going to use that for his glory. Instead of complaining, invest, steward the people that God has given you and make disciples. As people's faith grows and mature, things will go forth. It's called discipleship, multiplication. And this is the kingdom of God and how he works. And the same thing I see here as well. If God has given you a large amount of influence, don't be ashamed. Listen, the responsibility God gives you is the responsibility God gives you. If you have 5,000 people, 1,000 people, 500, doesn't matter the number. Listen, you don't be ashamed of the influence God has given you. You steward that well. You love people well. He's given you the capacity, the ability, the responsibility to love people like that. This is God who does the work. I love what Paul said in the first letter, 1 Corinthians 3, chapter 3, verse 6 through 7. He says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives growth. Part of our wiring is how we do things, right? With the resources that we have and how we think and problem solve and lead and all this stuff. God is in charge of it all. He knows. He places people in the body and he gives responsibility for some to water, some to grow, some to plant, some to grow, all right? It's all God by God's grace. And so whether you're small or you're big or you're planting or watering, listen, God is the one that does the work. Boast in your weakness, boast in how God made you, and praise God that he gave you people to minister to and love. We need to be aware of how God wired us so that way we can embrace our weaknesses. We can embrace our weaknesses and we can be aware of them. Because you see, the reality is no matter how much influence you have, whether large or small, you need the Spirit of God. You need God's grace on you and on your calling. This is not something that you can do by your might, by your flesh, but by the Spirit of God, says the Lord. You need Jesus, and it's good sometimes to know your limitations and know how God wire you, so at least you can be humble and ask for God's grace to grow and build his church. This is so important. We are simply aware of the grace of God and how he wired us to be good stewards, to worship him, and to boast in how great God is. And this is what Paul does all the time. In verse 17 through 18, just to close out our time together in this chapter, verse 17 and 18 says, let the one who boast in the Lord, for it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one who the Lord commends. We are approved not by boasting in our own abilities, by how awesome we are, but we are commended by worshiping the Lord through the gifts and responsibilities and grace and measurement that he's given us. He made you, you. God has wired you a certain way. Do you know how to lead? What that's like? Are you aware of your personality, of how you lead, of how you need to grow, of how you need to pray? These things are so important because we want to be good stewards. We want to worship God, and ultimately we want to boast in him. Being self-aware is so important, but it's not to bolster our pride in our own efforts and thinking we're amazing. No, no, no. It's to boast in God and to be faithful to what he's given us. He's given you life. He's given you a way, a mind to think, a way to lead, an ability to teach his word, to disciple. You're going to see things differently than the other people think. Don't get your validation from other people and comparing yourself. No, go to the Lord and say, thank you, Jesus, for making me who I am, for shepherding these people in this congregation, in this season, in this moment, and thinking this way and leading this way. Lord, I'm so weak. I thank you, God, for your strength. So I would just encourage you, embrace the gifts that you've been given by God. Learn how he's wired you. Learn that people are not a burden, but they're a blessing. Don't compare yourself to others. Know your limits. Embrace people that God has placed in your life and love them and serve them and point them to Jesus. Continue to follow them. Follow him by pointing people to him. And so just, man, know that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're uniquely made. You have a purpose. And God has a plan for your life. And I'm so glad that we could be a part of this journey together. How has God wired you? God made you. He loves you. He cares about you. He's given you grace. He's given you that through people, through responsibility, and even how you do things. Don't settle for your weakness. Bring that to God and say, God, in my weakness, become strong. Continue to rely and depend on Him, and He'll meet you right where you're at. And man, may God bless you, and may you continue to grow in the gifts and grace that He's given you. You know, I find that I have to do the leadership lessons as well and pour into you in that way. It's so hard to concisely share wisdom in 20, 25 minutes. But I'm so proud and so honored to be able to do that, not only in this episode, but to be able to have the leaders that we've had on this podcast. I'm so grateful out of their heart. They've done a great job just being able to share from their heart to yours. And I hope that you're benefiting from that. I hope that you're being reminded of that, encouraged of that. And so another leader that I have today on this podcast is Trey Brenham. Trey Brenham is a new leader that I recently met this last year. I had the opportunity, it was incredible, to go to Greece and to Turkey. And it wasn't just for vacation. No, it was a group study of another group of 35 to 40 pastors and their wives to study the footsteps of Paul. It was a most amazing trip. It was by Christian Expedition, which Trey works for and leads, a familiarization trip where you would go with another group of pastors to literally study and see what a trip like this is like. Now, I'm blessed to have great leaders in my life. My associate pastor, Robin Shelley, he does these type of trips regularly as he teaches at the Christian school and does travel studies. He's gone to Israel. He's done a Footsteps of Paul trip, and he's been trying to convince me to say, hey, go and do this. It's going to make you a better Bible teacher. It's going to help you understand these things better. And you know what? He's totally right. I wanted to do something like this, but it's like, hey, you know, whatever. But he just kept on pushing. And I'm so glad that I have leaders in my life that help me want to grow, to be myself. And so I said, okay, I'll go. And the trip was incredible. We flew into Thessaloniki. That's what they call it right now in your Bibles. It's Thessalonica. And we started this venture of the footsteps of Paul. And the big thing that stood out to me in this trip was the geographic stuff. It was amazing to be able to literally go to Philippi, where the gospel was first brought into Europe, and to go to the river where Lydia was baptized, to see the prison where Paul and Silas were in prison in Acts chapter 16, then to drive to Thessalonica and be up on the hill where they believe Jason lived in that biblical time frame in that text, and to study the things of Paul and his methodology, then to drive to Berea, to go all the way down into Achaia and go to Athens and Mars Hill and go to Corinth, then fly over to Ephesus and see the churches over there. I mean, it was just mind-boggling amazing. And you know what was incredible? The big thing that turned for me in this trip was the geography. To walk where Paul walked and to be seeing the visual things. Now, obviously, there are ruins, but we know that in Acts chapter 17, Paul was only in Thessalonica for about 3 Sabbaths, 3 weeks. And then there was persecution, and he went to Berea. In Berea, they accepted his message. They examined the scripture, and they says they were more noble than Thessalonica. But people from Thessalonica came down, these Jewish persecutors, and actually started persecuting Paul. What was super helpful for me, what made the Bible alive, is physically just going from staying awake on a bus from Thessalonica to Berea. It was about an hour drive, which means these people walked for about 50 miles, which would not be an hour. It would be way longer to go persecute Paul. This is the type of stuff that you get to experience when you go on the footsteps of Paul trip, or when you go to Israel and you see physically just the geographic stuff, the smells, the sights, the taste, this type of culture, and you have great Bible teaching. We had two great Bible teachers, Jim Gallagher and Josh Leck. They're both Calvary Chapel pastors. They were incredible. They did a great job. And I'll be having them on the Leadership Lessons episode podcast as well. I've already had Jim Gallagher several times on an interview on a couple of lessons. Josh, Pastor Josh, he's going to do a leadership lesson. Hopefully, if I could squeeze it in, I have so much content in this season. But it will be coming as well. And so why do I mention all of this? Because Trey Benham, Brenham, who is from Christian Expedition, he shared a one piece of advice that I thought matched perfectly for the leadership lesson I just taught on about being yourself. Trey is a young leader. He's 36, been a pastor, but now God has called him to bring people to these experiences so they can have a spiritual formation journey and trip and a part of their discipleship. And so he does a great job with admin, being himself, working behind the scenes, still making disciples. And he, from experience, tells us that we should be ourselves. And this is so important as I share all of these leadership lessons from different people, whether it be myself or friends or people that I'm getting to know. I want you to not compare, but to be able to experience and have the fellowship, the rich fellowship we have in Christ. And you know what? The trip was so good. My Bible knowledge grew. The geography thing was a highlight. But you know what was probably the best thing about that trip? Was the fellowship of others. Other guys, not even just from Calvary Chapel, my tribe. No, there was some people that was in the cohort that came on this trip with me, but there was also a ton of people outside of the Calvary movement, other godly men and women from all over the nation, from the Midwest, not just from South Florida, that were going on this trip, and the fellowship was so rich. Friends for a lifetime were made, and excited to even have some of those new friends share on this podcast and to learn from them, to grow, to pray with one another. And it's just super, super helpful when you can actually embrace not only who you are, but the people that God has put around you, and to know we're better together. That's the significant thing that I want you to get out of this lesson. When you're yourself, you can actually celebrate other people from the things God's called you to do. Whether you be right now a youth pastor, a senior pastor, a missionary, a church planner, God has different assignments, capacities, roles, and giftings for all of us, but we're doing it together and we're better together. And that was so encouraging for me, built my soul up so much to have fellowship with these other pastors, to have these hours and hours of bus ride experience, and to share life with one another. As we're going from Berea, which is the Macedonia, northern Greece area, driving down to Achaia, which is southern Greece. It's a 6-hour drive where Paul was escorted from Berea to Athens and with a company. Well, he walked and it took many days. It took us one day, 6 hours, but it was still fruitful because we had to have the fellowship with one another. And that was just so rich, so cool. And that's what I love about even this episode, is because I put myself in a position of running a cohort or with fellowship with other pastors, it's built me up as a person, as a man, as a pastor, as a lover of God. And I just want to encourage you, find community. And so this is another guy that who lives in South Florida, locally came over, did a couple of some stuff with me, and I just want to introduce you to him. It's Trey from Christian Expedition, and here is his one piece of advice.
My name is Trey Brennan, and I'm from Christian Expedition, a company that brings Christians to places of significance to our faith, like Israel and Greece and Turkey. One piece of advice I'd like to give that's been important in my life over the years, and also I've been thinking about more deeply recently, to leaders, is to be yourself. It sounds controversial. In the Christian world, it almost sounds like a New Age thing, because we know when people in the world say, be yourself, sometimes they mean it as a license for sin, like this is just the way that I am, and therefore I'm okay with continuing on in sinful patterns. But understood rightly, being yourself is a Christian virtue that's related to authenticity, integrity, and honesty, and transparency. Those are the kind of things that I mean by saying, be yourself. In order to be ourselves, we have to know who we are. So, and this is what it means to be yourself. You're a creature So don't try to be God. And as leaders, we sometimes have a tendency to try to control things that we can't control. Who are you? In addition to being a creature, you're also a redeemed creature. So that means, that shows that the way that the world, what they mean when they say to be yourself, is not what we mean here. Being yourself doesn't mean living in sin. It means living as you are in Christ. And also, you are a particular creature. So being yourself means not trying to imitate someone else. And this is the one of the biggest ways I've seen this play out in my life. There's a tendency in ministry and leadership to try to be like someone else, like a mentor or like a preacher that you have really benefited from. People like Tim Keller. When Tim Keller was big, there was, in a lot of little churches around the country, there was Tim Keller's 2.0. But God didn't call Tim Keller to lead your church when it comes to preaching, or he didn't call Steve Jobs 2.0 to lead your church when it comes to other forms of leadership and management. He called you. So be yourself.
Well, I want to double down on that community statement. The people that have been in my life have shaped me. And I pray that as you're watching this podcast, as you're listening to it, it's shaping you. I know that we maybe never had a one-on-one conversation, but I believe by faith that the words that I'm talking to you, I'm speaking into your ear and into your life, that it's helping form you, shape you by God's grace and His Spirit. I don't know sometimes what you need, but the Spirit directs me and has given these people all this information and wisdom to pass along to other people like yourself. And one thing I always do and pray with the people that are recording is, God, would you providentially have this episode or this content into the lives of my community and the people I'm pouring into at the right time and the right moment. And so whether you're listening to this in the early parts of season 6 or you're going back and binge watching this episode, man, I trust that the Lord is using these people and this content to bless you. And I want to thank you for that. And so another guy that's sort of new in my life is a guy named Jeremy Barahoran. I don't know how to pronounce it. I always mess it up. Sorry, Jeremy. But he is a new church planter in our area in South Florida. And we as a church have come alongside of him to support his work, him and his wife Angelica, as church planters, and the work that God is doing at the Light Church in West Palm Beach, the Latin Quarter, that God is sending laborers to our area. And we've prayed for years that God would send more laborers, church planters, churches, leaders, prophets, evangelists, like people would be flooded in South Florida so we could reach the nations. And Jeremy and his wife moved from Chicago to plant this church. And so I've had the privilege to be able to walk along with him to go to his launch. Me and my deacon went to his launch. I've been able to preach at his church and just help come alongside, even prayerfully and financially, this new church plant. It's such an honor and privilege. And I did a Patreon interview with him. You can find that full length interview on my Patreon page. It's a simple monthly subscription that you would subscribe to and get more content. The full interview is about 45 minutes. I just wanted to share, to close our time together thinking about being ourselves, Jeremy talking about how important community has shaped his church plant and his life. Because I think what ends up happening is that when we embrace who God has made us to be, we can celebrate others, and it actually brings us together. So rather than having a competitive spirit and comparing ourselves and being jealous of others, when I've fully established in who God has made me to be and what the capacity and grace He's given me, I'm able to embrace that, and then I can embrace others. And when we embrace others and walk in community, whether it be a cohort, like the lesson that you received because I was a part of a cohort, or the one piece of advice because I brought myself into a group in a situation with other pastors. Man, when you're a part of a community, it helps shape you, it helps grow you, and it helps bless your leadership. And I want to thank you for being a part of this community. I want to thank you, Patreon community, for subscribing, for being a part to help get resources out to other people and to build community. We're doing this thing together. I know that you may hear my voice or just watch this video and hear the things going on in my life, but really I feel like we're representing and we're building the podcast. The community is growing, and it's exciting because it means the kingdom of God is growing. As leaders are growing, it's better for the whole church and the people that are there discipling. And so we want multiplication, and so we're so blessed to be able to do that. And so here's Jeremy, a little snippet of the full length interview found on my Patreon page, but it's a snippet, and I just ask him, how has community shaped you? How has it grown you? How has it blessed your church plant? And I think it's just a reminder and a good encouragement for us to be in community today. No, community, I think, has shaped you. It's been really good. I know you were with Rodney Wilkinson at Gospel Fellowship. You were sitting under his preaching, getting to know the community. How important has community, people that have sent you, people here on the ground that have embraced you, even our friendship, partnership with other churches, like how does that all shaped and have helped you in the church planting journey that you're on?
Yeah, it's reminded me that I'm a follower of Jesus first, right? Because I think ministry leaders, pastors need other ministry leaders and pastor friends, yeah. Right? Where we could let our hair down in a sense and even be able to just be rebuked or be loved on, yeah. or even have a sense of solidarity if you're going through something or advocating for something, right? Like I think that having that makes you a better follower of Jesus. And you know, I don't want people to follow me. Lecrae said this, he's a rapper, he said, I don't want people to follow me, I want people to follow Christ, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So follow me as I follow Christ. And I think that's true of us, right? Like you can't help people follow Jesus if you yourself are not following Jesus. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to follow Jesus without like-minded people who at the very least can hear you out, but even better if they can relate to what you're going through. And that's what you guys have been for me.
Well, thanks so much for sticking to the end of this episode. In episode number 4, we're going to talk about how God is the one that does the work. I have another good friend of mine, Jason Sanchez from the House of Blessing in Mexico. Man, he's one of my BFFs, you know? I'm happy to acknowledge that, to have loving accountability and fellowship with him. I serve on the board of the House of Blessing with him. He comes to South Florida often and preaches at the church. And as he does that and we do ministry together, I ask him to share a leadership lesson for episode number 4 about how God does the work. And he really does a great job of just, sharing how God does a work in us. And we can embrace our weakness, even being ourselves, that we're really nothing, but God is everything. Amen. And so we can embrace that and know that. I also have another leader here in South Florida that's doing great work to build up multiple leaders, which I'm excited to share some vision about that. Brian Brookins, he's actually passing off his church and getting into this area of soul care, of being able to pour into other church leaders. And so these are the type of people that I'm growing with, that I'm learning with and learning from and in fellowship with. And I'm just so glad to be able to give that information and pass that stuff on to you. It's really exciting to be able to take time to interview, to get this content, to be able to pass it out. And so I would just encourage you, as you have stuck around till the end, to subscribe, to make sure that you don't miss any of this content, to share this content. And if you want it broken down in small pieces, especially in video form, go to our YouTube page, EE Leaders, and I try to break this stuff down, giving 3 YouTube videos a week and these segments into sections where you can share it, you could pass it on, you could even watch it as a staff and talk about it. I'm blessed to be able to be a part of your journey, and so thank you so much for being a part of mine and this community. And as we learn to be ourselves today, I pray that you're encouraged and blessed. We will see you on the next episode.